Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. Today's guest is Philipp Roche-Schlanderer. I hope I pronounced this right. Founder and CEO of eGym, one of Europe's fastest growing fitness tech companies on a mission to make the gym work for everyone. From Munich to the world, Philipp and his team are redefining what fitness looks like in the digital age, connecting smart hardware, AI-driven workouts, and member-centric gym experiences for millions globally. Philipp is also a sharp thinker on business, leadership, and the future of health. Let's talk fitness, growth, building hard things, and making gyms less intimidating, more inclusive, and way more effective. Everyone, give it up for Philipp. Philipp, such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hi, Marcin. Thanks so much for having me on.
Nice. Philipp, we just had a very cool and entertaining conversation off the record, but now it's time to dive right in into our conversation. So I know that you've called your mission fitness for everyone. What does that actually mean? Like, what was broken in the gym experience when you started?
Yeah, Marcin, maybe I just start by telling you the story how I came up with founding eGym. So I was born and raised in Germany. I played a lot of soccer, but I never saw the gym from inside. Then I moved to the United States for my studies. And there my friends at business school pulled me into the university's own gym in New York. And basically, I walked into this place and I had no clue how to use the gym. There were all these different machines. I then, you know, stepped on a treadmill and pressed the quick start button, even though I kind of knew this has nothing to do with my data, with my goals. It's kind of totally random. And then on the strength machines, I didn't know at all how to use them. I asked friends like, hey, do you know how to use them? And they said to me like, no, not really, but I'm just always trying to do like, you know, three sets of 15 reps with whatever training weight like feels good in this moment. And I felt like, wow, this is all so broken here. And then when I left the gym, I always felt like, okay, I'm not sure if this was useful, but at least it was very exhausting and it took a lot of time. But is there any score count? Like, did this make sense? And then I always like to say like, hey, this feels like playing soccer without counting the goals. And then I double clicked on this industry. And what I found is that basically you have like roughly 14 to 15% of Europeans, roughly 18% of Americans going to the gym. And there's basically three groups of people, if you really want to generalize. Of these 15%, you know, 10% are expert users. They know exactly how to use the gym. But that's again, 10% of 15%, the 1.5% of the population. Then another 10%, we call them engaged users. They know that they need help and they're also willing to get help. And they ask like floor trainers for advice. They buy personal training services and so on and so on. And then there's this 80% of the 15% that go there and are like me, not engaged enough to buy personal training, not engaged enough to read a book about how to work out successfully. And you're just like churning through because they do some dumb things on the training floor. And then I was wondering like, hey, why are so many people actually going to the gym? And what I found is that basically the most people do not actually go to the gym for aesthetical reasons. They rather want to just live longer and better. And that was really surprising to me at the time. And then the idea was born, hey, like, well, now that I know how much it makes sense for people to go to the gym, couldn't I use software to basically give everyone an access to a workout as if they had access to a human personal trainer? Just everything is fully automated, low intimidation, all that thing. And so basically, finally, for these 80%, we make the gym work for them. And then if we do this, can't we then integrate the gym into the largest market in the world, healthcare, to make that work too? Because finally, like, we can shift the healthcare market from 100% repair to prevention. And so that's why the idea was born. Hey, we use technology to make the gym work for everyone, but then we integrate it to the healthcare market. And the way we do this is with our EGEM WellPass, which is Europe's largest employee wellness platform. So employers pay us for their employees being able to not only go to the gym, but have also workout success there and review the data. And the fun thing for me right now in today's world, and then I end the first question, is, you know, when I founded EGEM, and I told people I do this so that people can live longer and better, I'm not kidding you, like 80% of the people looked at me and said, like, is this guy telling me that with a gigantic biceps, one will live longer? Like, he's so talking his own book. But now, thanks to people like Peter Attia, Huberman Labs, and others, when I tell the story, I was like, of course, like, going to the gym makes you live longer and better and reduce healthcare costs. And so that's a very exciting phase of my life right now.
Amazing. Philip, I love the story. Thank you for sharing. 100%. Like, going to the gym, like, of course, like, that means longevity for you. And generally, even all this age that you're going to reach, like, I don't know, let's say 80 or something, or 90 or whatever the new age will be that you are capable of reaching, it's going to be, you know, like, the more weight actually you do, the more your body is able to, the longer your body is able to carry you, and the more you're going to be strong and be able to, you know, like, be mobile and do stuff. It's so important to like go to the gym. And it's so crazy that, you know, the gym has been there for ages, but yeah, like, people had this misconception that, yeah, it's for like guys who want to have like a strong biceps or something, but no, it's actually for you to live a long and healthy life. 100%. And I'm so happy again to have you on the show.
And just like to add on this, right? Because I really think, like, if I want to have people take one thing away from this conversation, is if you don't yet go to the gym, you have to go to the gym because it will make you live longer and better. And just like two data points. One is, there's really nothing you can do to prevent diabetes more than having more skeletal muscle mass, because that helps you to metabolize the glucose. But also, for example, there's now a new study, strength training reduces your likelihood for dementia and Alzheimer by 70%. 70%. And like, I've never met anybody who feels like, hey, my last 10 years with dementia will be great.
Right? No. And I promise you that this I'm going to do at the end of the podcast when you finish, but I already have done that twice, including this one.
Yes. you mentioned to me in our introductory conversation that you're doing EGEM like every other day. And of course, that made me much more energized to step into this call.
100%. I actually do. So not every other day. Like, I try to do every day. I said every other day to kind of play it safe. But yeah, I'm there every day. It's like, generally the gym that I'm going to is pretty cool. Like, it's not a gym. It's kind of a way of life. It's like kind of an extension of your home. You go there, there's a swimming pool, there's a spa, there's a restaurant, there's a co-working space, like, and it's all nice and like, very nicely preserved, like, older building in Barcelona, like, kind of a
awesome
castle style. It's very cool. And EGEM EGEM stuff is there. EGEM technology is there. That's why I like it so much as well. And so, Philip, I wanted to ask you, because you operate across gyms, corporate wellness, and healthcare, as you already mentioned. What's the big shift happening at the intersection of fitness and healthcare?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, this it's super interesting. Healthcare has been and still is only about repairing things with basically surgeries and medicine. Mm-hmm. But like, we know today, there's so much you can do to treat and prevent specifically the chronic conditions. Like muscle skeletal diseases, back pain, diabetes, all these things, which cost like way more than half of the money spent in healthcare. We have a huge impact on it if people find ways to work out successfully. And like, one very specific example of today's world that gives you an idea how both things have to be married in a way. Right now, one of the big technology trends is GLP-1. You may have heard about these like weight loss drugs. And it's pretty incredible. It's pretty safe because it's been given to people for almost more than 20 years. And it's a, you know, GLP-1 is a hormone, has lots of good features to it. But because people get into a calorie deprived situation, basically the body tries to consume calories from whatever it gets. And so an average GLP-1 user loses like 40 to 50% of their weight loss in muscle. And so afterwards, like for most users, their body composition is actually less healthy than before, but also they can never get off the drug because now they lost so much muscle that their daily calorie consumption has steeply declined. And so whenever they kind of get off the drug, now like they will rebuild everything only in fat. And then it's really, really bad compared to where they started. Mm-hmm. And so what you want to do is basically complement it with strength training and the right, you know, protein-rich nutrition so that basically the weight loss that is really magically happened now with GLP-1 is fully focused on fat and not on not the muscle. And so this gives you a good idea how like those two worlds need to get together. But probably the most extreme example is, you know, the single biggest cost item in healthcare in all the like, you know, G7 markets is muscle skeletal diseases, of which back pain is one of the biggest categories. Mm-hmm. And when you think about how we spend that money, it is mainly spent in treating the symptoms versus basically have those people build up their muscles costume that protects their bones and, you know, gives a lot of positive effects to your body. Yeah. And so what I want to try to do is, you know, help healthcare to rather have people do more strength training so that we can spend much less money on treating the symptoms. Because if you treat the symptoms, obviously you have to treat them for forever. And it's very expensive, still not a great quality of life and so on. And this is really where we see how things have to come together. But in order to those two worlds come together, there's multiple things that need to be achieved. And that's what we do. One thing is, you need to deploy software in a way that a totally inexperienced exerciser can work out successfully, but also safely, and also in a way that they're motivated. So that's why we present the data when you don't see yet differences in the mirror or how you feel. But that's not enough, because in every market, there's just a price-demand curve, and people have, like, typically those inexperienced exercisers also don't have enough willingness to pay for actually, you know, going to the gym and be successful. And so therefore, it's the software is one critical element, because if the software is not deployed, no one even has a chance to work out successfully from the beginner users. And so it makes no sense in the first place. But then the second thing is, you need to have somebody else subsidize their gym experience, because otherwise, based on the price demand curve that they have, they wouldn't go. And that's why we have our eGym WellPass service, where your employer, who's got a huge incentive for you to be, you know, healthy, because that increases your productivity and reduces your sick days, like they subsidize your experience. Mm-hmm. And therefore, finally, we have it all solved. Like, you can go to the gym. It fits your, you know, willingness to pay, but also inside the gym, you will be successful. And what we've seen now in our database is, for eGym WellPass, that whenever, like, we identify specifically the inexperienced exercisers and send them specifically to our technology, and we have now achieved that those people even have better retention than the more experienced exercisers that may also want to do more analog workouts. Mm-hmm. And so we really take good care of those people. And so basically that's how we look at this.
Amazing. Philip, I couldn't agree more. I also think that one thing that you said previously when you were answering the previous question, is like, you know, like how important the prevention is, like not just, you know, like curing the symptoms or curing the disease once it's appeared, but actually preventing it. And in order to prevent it, you got to keep yourself healthy. And in order to be healthy, you got to go to the gym and exercise. Philippe, I know that.
And by the way, like if you have access to tools like eDrim, it's not, you don't need, like if you are like, if you don't want to be focused on like 120% aesthetics and you don't need to be ripped, then with like quite like, you know, little effort, you can achieve a lot, right? Like for example, like if you would do like 2-3 times a week, eDrim for let's say 30 to 40 minutes, which is not a lot, you are massively improving your, you know, your health cohort already. And so there's really so much you can achieve by just making it a habit. And what we see is also once we show people how successful they are, then it's also much less of an effort for them to actually go back to the gym and have their workouts done.
Once you see the results, you just get motivated by them. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
100%. Philip, I know that you're taking this call, like you're having this recording while being in the US. I want to actually talk about it a bit. So Europe versus US, what are the biggest differences, you know, in how fitness and health are approached, and how does that impact your GTM actually?
Yeah. So like the gym industry is basically globally, it's like the gym industry is like a global market. Basically you find gyms in Shanghai, New York, Munich, and Barcelona. They all pretty much look the same. It's also typically the same vendors, the same brands. So basically eGym right now, because we launched the company in Europe, is from what I know, the only anomaly in the global industry. And so therefore we're now investing heavily to bring eDrim much more into the motherland of fitness, USA. But from the fitness side, like there's really minor differences. In Europe, in continental Europe, you have more like trainers as part of the subscription. And in UK, US, you have to pay for that. Extra, but that's all, that's already it. Like that's the only difference. Now with the corporate wellness market, the huge difference is that in the US, healthcare like is done via employer, and in Europe we have socialized healthcare. And so what makes the US right now also quite exciting for us is that we can pitch directly to employers. So just so people understand, like most of the blue chip firms are self-insured in the US, which means if you are more sick, your employer pays more. And so we can pitch directly to these people that like, hey, with like our solution, you can save a lot of money. And that's really unfortunate in Europe with socialized healthcare, which has lots and lots of advantages. But basically, politicians would need to make the decision that we actually want to have a healthier population while spending less money on it. Like, sounds like a no-brainer, but politicians have not made that decision. And therefore, we don't have enough incentives in place in socialized healthcare that actually money goes more into prevention versus purely repair. And I'm just kind of, I'm a huge fan of Europe, and I just like want Europe to succeed. But I do think, you know, we have basically like these two sustainability crises in my view. One is climate, which definitely will cost money because we price CO2, which has been for free in the past. But in healthcare, our largest market, no other place consumes more money. We basically can drive sustainability and reducing spending, right? Like if we fix the root cause, then we don't need to treat the symptoms for forever. And so there's like a huge opportunity for actually saving money by creating the right incentives. But unfortunately, in none of the European socialized healthcare markets, politicians have yet taken the decision to kind of like, you know, kill two birds with one stone. Let's save money and make everyone more healthy.
Yeah. Philip, 100%. I couldn't agree more with that as well. You mentioned that, you know, Gym is a global thing. You know, you go to Tokyo, you have a gym. You go to Paris, you have a gym. Yeah. You go to the US, you have a gym. We just talked about differences in systems when it comes to healthcare and how it impacts the kind of a gym environment and gym thing. But I was wondering, since you said it's kind of gyms look similar everywhere, right? If you could redesign the entire gym experience from scratch, which you're kind of doing, right, with eGym, what would be the first thing to go?
Well, when you say the first thing, I would say I could outline to you the member experience that we envision, which is you go inside the gym and then we will scan your body. We collect a ton of data. We then ask you a few questions about your preferences, like how many times per week do you want? It's kind of your trade-off decisions. How many times per week do you want to work out and how many minutes per workout? And then basically all the equipment on the training floor knows you, sets up automatically and guides you through an optimal workout based on your trade-off decisions, your data, and your training goal. And when you end your workout, we will show you how you've been able today to improve your health. And so we have just launched eGym Genius, our AI workout builder, and it really considers all your data. So for example, if you have told me, I want to only work out twice a week, and I want to do not more than 45 minutes per session, and you decided to go for a run in the beautiful place at where you live in Barcelona. I can imagine how you go running at the beach. And you tracked it with like your Garmin, Polar, Apple Watch, whatever. Then tomorrow you go to the gym. Our AI workout builder will know, okay, he only wants to work out twice a week and he's done already a run. So I'm not going to prescribe him any cardio today. We just may warm you up, but then focus you fully on strength and flexibility. This is really like how we basically want to optimize your experience. And every time you walk inside the gym, our AI will calculate what is the best use of time in that moment, considering all the data we know about you and the available equipment that is existing in that specific gym. And that's basically what we want to drive forward. Mm-hmm. So that people can, choose how much do they want to spend time on it. And then it's just like basically maximize the impact from those minutes that you want to give us.
Very personalized and very, maximizing the effect approach. And I love it. And this is what people need. And this is what we need, like, to actually get more people to go to the gym because that's what it takes.
Philip, I have set myself a personal mission, Marcin, that my goal is that when an employer signs up with eGym WellPass, mm-hmm. I have done like all the different things needed so that every single employee does at least 5 minutes of strength training per week. like 100%. 100% at least 5 minutes of strength training per week. That's kind of right now the goal that I've set for myself, which I want to achieve.
That's amazing. I love it. Philippe, what's the boldest bet you've made so far? And maybe let's first hear that. And I wonder what was the next one.
I would say the boldest bet was really to launch eGym in the way how we launched it, because we are like such a full stack company, right? We do hardware design, production, electronics, embedded system engineering, software, mobile development, AI. Like we just do within the hardware and IT sector, basically everything possible we do, we do tons of software development like everyone else, but also we are designing frequency converters. Basically that was such a huge mission. And the first 10 years have been also super tough because like now, you know, more than 80% of our revenues is recurring. But we started first out building this connected hardware experience, always with the vision. Like the way I explained to you, Ijim, that was exactly like this in the deck 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But basically, for the first 10 years, European VCs told me, like this is like crazy. You want to basically change two entire industries. By the way, one is the biggest in the world. And you want to do from hardware to software to subscription, just everything. Mm-hmm. And you want to build a two-sided marketplace on top and la, 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 la. This is just not feasible in Europe. This is a company that can only be founded in the Silicon Valley. And like European VCs told me this for 10 years. And I have to also say, indeed, like, you know, the last time like Europeans invested into EGEM was like, you know, many, many, many years ago. Actually, the only real European funds invested into EGEM were basically like government funds in the like very first year. And then it was more global funds. But basically, that's what I heard. And that was super tough. Mm-hmm. Because like basically every single financing round was decision between going bankrupt or keep going. I would say, like with some exceptions, I didn't have more than one term sheet per round in the mm-hmm. first 10 years. And so to decide, you know, we just don't want to be this thin layer that changes a little bit something, but we basically want to go full stack and just really think the solution through and fix what makes sense. That was definitely very bold. And I have to admit, probably also what helped me at the time was that I didn't know how complex all of this is.
Right.
And how hard it is.
And curiosity you go with it. Like it's often helps, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm always challenging myself. If I had known
how hard it is, would you still? Yeah, exactly.
And I have to admit, like honestly, I don't know if I would have done it again because it was really, really hard. And in our case, like the way we summarize our journey so far is the first 10 years have been extremely hard. Then we were afterwards hit for 2 years by the lockdown really hard. Right. But since then, it's going so well.
Amazing. Feel it. And let's keep it that way. And speaking of the like a second part of the question, like what's the next boldest bet you're gonna make? When you imagine aging 5 years from now, what does success look and feel like for you?
I mean, it's definitely like, you know, we keep scaling what we have in Europe. We're launching like in a big way the US. That's one thing. But I would say probably the more like curious investment area we will now undertake is we actually now make significant investments into real healthcare solutions. Like we have right now the first clinical study running. And we really want to break into healthcare. We now have set the stage for this investment area. Because we have like a fast growing, profitable company that already now spends more in R&D than anybody else in the world of fitness. And we keep investing as much as we can into R&D. We scale that, but now on the base of this, we are basically now investing on top into healthcare. Well, most people would probably just say like, hey, like we could easily just do more of the same and get into billions. Right now we're hundreds of millions. And we do that, but we also invest now heavily to go into healthcare because we believe if we do this right, we can be one of the 10 most valuable companies in the world. And at the same time, we actually do really good for our people. So that kind of that's what we are doing right now, and where we're spending a lot of money.
Amazing, Philip. And I, I couldn't agree more with you. So my wife is she's a biotechnologist. She works at AstraZeneca. She deals with clinical trials end to end. She's running the Barcelona hub of AstraZeneca here. And man, I know how much connected these two things are. Like for her also, like every day, how important exercising, workout, the gym is, and how it all connects with the healthcare industry. And Yeah, man, it's great. Again, it's great to have you on the show. I'm a big fan of what you're building, and I look forward to seeing what's going to be next and how you guys going to keep disrupting those industries and making people healthier. This is the kind of this is a time during the show where I usually play a little game with my guests. Okay. It's like rapid fire kind of game. So I ask you a quick question, you give me a quick answer. Are you up for it?
Yes.
All right, let's do it then. What's one health hack you actually believe in, and one that you think is total bullshit?
So one health hack I absolutely believe in
So
as someone who travels constantly between US and Europe, I can tell you a health hack definitely is use the time shifter app and follow religiously their instructions, and you will sleep so much better. Obviously, like, the number one thing you should be doing is strength training followed by cardio. But if you ever happen to have jet lag, just use the time shifter app, and it's a real hack, I would say. Then what I don't believe in is, like, whenever people tell you, you know, you just need to, use this little belt for 10 minutes a day and it fixes your health problems. Like, every time someone tells you, you can improve your health without actually putting in effort, it's not work.
There's no shortcut.
Not going to work. There's like lots of fads. Like, don't have anybody promise you ever that fitness is not hard. Because only if you stress your muscles, which is hard, you will have them grow.
It's hard work. Exactly. And consistency and dedication. Philip, your personal favorite eGym feature?
BioAge. It's basically, we show you across the dimensions of strength, flexibility, metabolism, and cardio, which are the four king categories of the gym. Like, how do you compare to your peers, like same age, same gender, you know, same body proportion? And that gives you such a great idea on how you're able to improve your health span. And so that's my favorite feature.
Nice. I like it. What's your go-to workout zone?
My go-to workout zone?
A song.
Actually, that changes all the time. But I'm most of the time actually listening to podcasts.
Okay, nice. Perfect. One person you love to train with, and what workout would you do?
I love to work out with my wife, Alice. Mm-hmm. And we obviously do eGym.
Nice. All right. This is going to be the last one. Finish the sentence. The gym of the future will feel like...
It works.
Nice. I like it. I thought you were going to say like eGym or something, but it's even better. Like, the gym of the future will feel like it works. I love it. Everyone give it up for Philip. Philip, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Again, I love what you're doing. Love the conversation. I think the audience will love it too. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marcin, and keep doing the eGym workouts.